Thank you, Steel Ridge. Oh, my Lord, what a wonderful song. I choose Christ. I'll say something to you, church. We hate shutting down service anytime, but we just watch this weather, and they tell you one thing one minute and another thing another minute, and you just try to do your best. But my desire is to protect you and watch out over you. And we love you. Now, we're looking forward to this evening's service. That song, I Choose Christ, when we get into Ecclesiastes tonight, and I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, Solomon's going to make a choice. And what he's going to do, he's going to choose living under the sun or living outside Christ. He's not going to choose God. He's not going to choose Christ. He's going to choose his own intellect, his own desire, his own emotion, and what a passage of Scripture. I tell you, Solomon reminds me a lot of what's going on in this 21st century, in this 21st century church. There's a lot of people that have the name of Christ that are living under the sun, living in defeat, looking for all kinds of things to satisfy them. And I want you to know there's no satisfaction outside of Jesus Christ. Solomon was the wisest man on the planet. It's amazing to me. I can read his Proverbs. I read a proverb every day, and the wisdom just oozes out of his writings. And when I read the Song of Solomon, it gives you such a fresh look of marriage and life in the home. And he was full of abundance. He was full of God. He was full of wisdom. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, he chooses another perspective. In the last part of his life, I want you to know something. Thank God you started right when you got saved. Thank God the Holy Ghost came in you. But I want you to know something. If we ever cease being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God and live under the sun, it changes your perspective. And that's what we see in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's at the end of his life. It's a shame a lot of us start right, start good, look good, but end terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, because of the great gift of salvation and because of the Holy Ghost's work in our life, there is no need for us to live defeated. There's no need for us to choose something else to satisfy us. When we have the Holy Ghost of God, when we have the power of God, when we have the love of God, when we have the grace of God. Oh, somebody help me preach. He is functioning outside of God's will. He's a mess. We look in society today, and I want you to know our country's a mess, our culture's a mess, and much of Christendom is a mess. Amen, I said it. We've got church that don't even have church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. They went to a social agenda. Somebody help me preach. We need to realize that God wants us to live above the sun. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. In chapter 1, Solomon says, in the first three verses, is life worth living? And then in verses 4, in the chapter 1, on down to about verse 11, he said nothing really changes. Sun goes up. Waters go into the sea, and nothing changes. And then he says, in the last part of that, verses 12 through 18, he said nothing really makes sense. Can I tell you something? Outside of Jesus Christ and outside of relationship with God, nothing makes sense. It doesn't make sense to chase after things and live like a devil and think you're going to get enjoyment out of this life. It just don't make sense. And that's what he was saying. Chapter 1, he put on his scientific hat and looked at creation. He, in verses 4 through 8, he He put on his historical hat and looked at the past. And everything just keeps going in cycles. And then he put on his philosopher hat in the last part of chapter 1. And boy, he looked at life through philosophy or logic. But in chapter 2, and I want to read these verses to you, he's going to look at life a different way. Instead of looking at it in theory, he's going to go into the laboratory of life and start experimenting with things to try to make him happy, to try to fulfill him. Let's read these first 11 verses, and I believe you'll start seeing the point tonight of the message. I'm going to preach on the laboratory of life. The laboratory of life. Let's look what he says in chapter 2. He said, in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I had planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. I get me men servants and women singers and the likes of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than any before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. My, my. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all labor. And this was my portion of my labor. Then I looked on the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Dear Lord. He's in the laboratory of life. He is now engaging in stuff. Trying to get stuff to satisfy him. Trying to get stuff to help him. And he had more stuff than anyone in the world. I want you to know something. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But when stuff is your end, and when stuff has you, you're at a desperate point. I'm glad I've got Jesus. And thank God for things that he's allowed me to have. But I'm glad things don't have me. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I tell you what Solomon said in this passage. He said, now, I theorized all this stuff in my mind, what I want to do to make myself happy. Now I'm going to do that which was in my mind, in my body. And he did that. And we see it in our generation today, people doing things in their mind and starting thinking of things that might bring them joy. And they collapse and they start putting it into experience. They go into the laboratory of life and they start experiencing things. There's two things I want to notice in Solomon's life tonight. First of all, I want you to notice in verses 1-3, his pleasurable enjoyment. Here's what he said. I'm going to find out how much fun I can have. I'm talking about fun. I'm talking about amusement. I'm talking about, I'm going to ditch rules and regulations. I'm not going to live my life after God. I'm going to live my life trying to have fun. I'm going to try to do everything I can to satisfy my longings. Here's what he done. In verse number 1, he had what I call amusement enthusiasm. He was driven by fun and availability. By the way, he had enough money and enough stuff, he could buy all the fun he wanted. Somebody help me preach. And there's some of you. You've been blessed and you spend your money and your time and your effort on things really that doesn't bring you satisfaction. But I want you to know, you'll find out that you'll never be satisfied outside of Jesus and outside of God. Amen. He had an inward rationale. He said, I said in my heart. I'll tell you what he'd done a little dialogue. He had a little staff meeting with himself, with his emotions and with his will. He was guided by the flesh. How many people we know today that are guided by the flesh? Somebody help me preach. He's trying to lasso his mind. That word mirth in verse 1 is the word we get amusement or laughter, generated by entertainment. He said, I'm just going to laugh myself into happiness. And I'm going to laugh myself to joy. Do you know what he does? He paid for his own comics. He had people to come in. He didn't have to go get him a CD. He didn't have to go get a DVD. No. He didn't have to go to Netflix. He had enough money to have his own Netflix. He had his own money to have his own comics. But he never satisfied himself. Then I see an implausible resort. I approve of mirth. Hey, heart. The only way you can be happy is fun. And that's what he done. He said, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy everything. And here's what Solomon was doing. He was laughing on the outside. But he was dying on the inside. And how many people you and I know, they put a big front on the outside? How many Christians do you know put a big front on the outside? You think they're the most happy, joyful people in the world. But inwardly, they're dying. See, laughter doesn't keep you happy. I'll tell you what keeps you happy. It's joy keeps you happy. Hallelujah! Joy keeps you happy. Thank God for that. Then let me show you in verse number 3. Not only did he try amusement and enthusiasm, he tried alcoholic excessivism. Here's what he said. Just look at it. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly. Tell you what he done. He started drinking. He drank wine. You know, it's a sad day when you need some kind of stimulant to make you happy and give you joy. We're living in a generation right now that liquor is abundant, drugs is abundant, And all people are doing is trying to amuse themselves and be happy and joyful. And they find out that liquor ain't going to make them joyful. And we got a bunch of Baptist social drinking Baptists and social drinking Christians. Most churches today, their pastors social drink, act like little devils themselves. They become little entertainers. I want you to know we need some people to grab a hold of holiness and say, I don't need liquor and I don't need wine, because wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And we don't need that to be had. If you are saved, you got the Holy Ghost in you. That'll bring you joy, peace, and long suffering. He made an individual choice. And by the way, you're going to make an individual choice. Are you going to choose those kind of things? You're going to choose laughter? Or is that what makes you happy? Are you going to choose liquor? Is that what's going to make you happy? And I look at your life. And I look at many of you, and I look at society, they're not happy. The more they drink, the more they have to drink. The more they put drugs in their arm, the more they have to put drugs in their arm. That's why in our church, we got a frontline addiction program. Because you may think you can just take a drink, but it's going to lead to another drink. And every week we deal with people that are addicted to alcohol and drugs and pornography and filth. And they're empty and they're dying and they're decaying. God help them. And it always starts with an individual choice. You say, well, the devil made me. No. Let's stop that junk. You've done it because you chose to do it. You've done it because there's an emptiness in your life that's not filled. And you're trying to be satisfied. And you're trying to be all things to all people. And ladies and gentlemen, it's cool today to be have a little wine in your hand. It's cool today to have your little six pack. It seems cool today, but it's not cool when you ruin your life. It's not cool when you become a drunk. It's not cool when you run over somebody while intoxicated. It's not cool when you live an upside down, wicked life. It's just not cool. Then he had antagonizing emotions, sinful lust. He had spiritual limitations. Come on, help me. By the way, when you get in a car with the devil, he going to take you places. Can I say a little bit more about this party life? And heavy drinkers and drunkards and a member of Alcoholics Anonymous once sent Ann Landers the following. You know who Ann Landers is. She's not godly. But here's what he sent to her. He said, we drank for happiness and we become unhappy. We drank for joy and we became miserable. We drank for sociability and we became argumentative. We drank for friendship and we made enemies. We drank for sleep and we wakened without rest. We drank for strength and we felt weak. We drank for bravery and we became afraid. We drank for confidence and we became doubtful. We drank to make conversation easier and we slurred our speech. We drank to forget and we're forever haunted. We drank for freedom and we became slaves. We drank to ease our problems just to only see them multiply. Now I know there's not very many preachers in this valley and this state. We'll take a stand on alcohol. This church does. We took a stand down at Wade Park when they tried to just open up liquor out in the fields and everywhere else. I want you to know we're going to stand for God. Amen. And liquor's wrong. It always has been wrong. New Testament, Old Testament, it's wrong. Amen. And then I want you to notice his abiding emptiness in verse number 2. Look what it says. I said of laughter, it's mad. He said, I said of pleasure, It's vanity. I said, a mirth, what doeth it? Amen. See, pleasure at the end just makes you crazy. I think of the comedian, one of my favorite comedians. I love to watch Mr. Doubtfire. Robin Williams. I love Robin Williams. He made me smile. Could you imagine a man with that talent, with that gift, kill himself? You see what you're saying, Preacher Smith? He clowned around. He was a great comic. But he destroyed his life. He was miserable. How many people do you know that is trying everything in the world to be satisfied, but they're miserable? I want you to know, Bible time's not laughing time. Singing time actually is not laughing time. Amen. Let me give you a little something. Laughter gives you resulting insanity. Wine gives you ridiculous impropriety. And they both lead you to radical inadequacy. Can I tell you, laughter, wine, substance abuse, it will not bring you into reality. It will mess your life up. And Solomon said, it's all vanity. It's all vexation of the spirit. He said, really? It's just a big bag of nothing. I was sitting talking to a man about 2 weeks ago who went to church and made a profession, and whether he was saved or lost, I don't know, but he got away from God. He went through 2 marriages because he never was satisfied. He became a drunk, an alcoholic, eventually a drug addict. And at one time, he seemed like one of the happiest people in this world. You said, what happened to him, preacher? Instead of living a life above the sun and God helping him have victory, he stooped to the elements of life, to experimentation, and I'll just experiment. And that's why you got so many sexual perverts. They experiment. So many heathens out there because of their experimentation. Hey, everything goes and anything goes in this day. But I want you to know that they'll never find happiness outside of Christ. Then verse 4, I want you to notice, instead of his enjoyment, he starts dealing with personal employment. Here's what he said. Well, Jared, here's what he said. He said, well, laughter didn't do it, and liquor didn't do it, so I guess what I'm going to do now, I'm going to amass me a wealth and things, and I'm going to give myself to all of that to see if that'll make me happy, and if that'll give me joy. And here's what he done in verse 4 and 5. He went to Project Wells, or Project Works. Look at these verses. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planned me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them, of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. He started having projects. Solomon had some of the most magnificent homes. You do know he was the one responsible for building the temple, bringing the cedars of Lebanon in, bringing the gold and silver in. Everything he had was beautiful. He became a project addict. And I know some people, they go from one thing to the next thing, and they always look worn out. From one project to the next project to the next project, trying to bring satisfaction, trying to bring joy. But I want you to know the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to know there's no real joy outside of Jesus. There's no real joy outside of Him helping you. And then He had procured workers. Look at verse 7. He said, I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house also. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem and before me. He said, I had procured workers. They tell me that at one time, under his employment and under his guidance, he had 30,000 workers. Now remember, he hired them in, and then once they started having children, their children become his servants and become his slaves. So he was in charge of all of that. He had bought servants and he had born servants. He was in charge. And a lot of people think being in charge, oh boy, that'll make me happy. All that does is bring more burdens. Ain't nothing wrong with being in charge. And it ain't nothing wrong with it at all. But when Jesus and God's not in charge, you in trouble. Somebody help me preach. You in big trouble. Then he had possessed wealth. Look at verse 8. I can't imagine this. Look at verse 8. He said, I gathered me also silver and gold and particular treasure of kings and of princes. I get me men singers and women singers and delights of the son of men as musical instruments and that all sorts. So I was great. He possessed animals. He possessed more money than he'd ever spend. Come on, help me. He possessed maids. He possessed people that could sing to him. Men singers and women singers. They were just, I'm told they would come in before him and they would sing to him, try to calm him, try to make him joyful, try to make him happy. And at the end, he said, all vanity. Big bunch of nothing. He tried the magnificent. He tried materialism. He had stuff everywhere. He didn't have to go buy entertainment. He had his own entertainment. Come on now. I want you to know that kind of lifestyle. You trying to find that kind of happiness. You know what Solomon was trying to do? He's trying to find peace in that kind of stuff. You're not going to find peace in that kind of stuff. You're not going to find joy in that kind of stuff. Let me read a verse of scripture to you in the book of Isaiah. Here's what God says. He said, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in him. Do you want to find peace? You're not going to find it in the bottle. You're not going to find it in all the things you do. You're going to find it by trusting God. Oh, happy day when you'll find the pleasures of this world, the stuff of this world will not bring you joy. Now, before you get aggravated, you say, don't you have stuff, preacher? Sure, I have stuff. I have some things. Thank God for them. But I want you to know, they don't have me. I'm not entangled where. If they were going, I'd cease to exist. I want to tell you what. The greatest thing I got is, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the rich fool. You remember the story about the rich fool? He got, had him barns, and he wanted more barns, Jared. So he tore his barns down, made him new ones. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, God said to him, this night thy soul is required of you. And I'll say this to you, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul. Hey, what will it profit if you get laughter and liquor and money and everything and die and burn in hell forever and ever and ever? God help you. Then number four, I see prevailing wisdom. This is interesting to me. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. You know what Solomon said? I was chasing all this junk. I was chasing this mess. But I tried to keep wisdom with me so I wouldn't do too much. So I'd some way not let it get me out of control. I want to tell you, that's you, though. You can't be no fence trailer. I'll tell you what's wrong. You look at me right now. I'll tell you what's wrong with Christians today. We got too many fence trailers. They got one foot in the world and one foot for God. And they're not happy in the world and they're not happy for God. That's why marriage is going down the tubes. That's why lives are going down the tubes. That's why young people getting on substance abuse. That's why kids are drinking and carrying on and rebelling. Why? Because we got one foot here and one foot there and we're fence trailer. God, help us. Amen. Look at verse number 11. I see perpetual worthlessness. Look what he said in verse 11. Then I looked. Look at this. He said, then I looked on all the works of my hands that had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And look what he says. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And listen to this. And there was no profit under the sun. Dear God. Jared's with me here in the auditorium. Jared's an accountant. He'll know what I'm talking about right now. Solomon had a whole bunch of stuff on paper. I know a lot of people got assets on paper, but they ain't got nothing in the heart. They're still longing. They're still searching, and they haven't found real joy. I'll tell you, the most dangerous person on the planet Earth is a Christian who has plunged himself into the world, and their mindset is on the world. And their mindset is on stuff. And their mindset is on, let everything but God help me. God help us. He had houses. He had singers. He had silver. But it didn't help him sleep. Look at our culture. How much money is spent to help people sleep. Rich people. You remember the story of Michael Jackson on how he died and the stuff he tried to get himself to sleep with eventually killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that'll give you peace and nothing that'll give you rest outside of a relationship with God and outside of being sold out to God. Notice his serious activity. Verse 11, he said, I looked on my, and all the works of my hands that and had wrought and on labor, I had labor to do. Behold, all was vanity. Serious activity. More stuff, more things, thinking the grass is greener over on the other side. Why does people commit adultery and have affairs and ruin their lives? Why does a person who the Bible made you man or made you woman? But why would a person get perverted enough and cross gender lines? Man with men, women with women. You said, why, preacher? I'll tell you why. Some way they got beyond the grace of God and what God could do and start rationalizing all this stuff and even tried all these perversions to make them happy, and it's wickedness and it's perversion and it's ungodliness and it will not satisfy. And look what, and I'll close. He had the same adamant thought. After trying all that enjoyment and employment, he said all was vanity and vexation of the spirit. I remember a man came to Jesus. And he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him to keep the commandments. And he said, I've done all that. And by the way, you can't keep the commandments. And Jesus knew his sweet spot. He said, okay, if you've done all that, go sell everything you got. And then you can get in. And you know what the man said? He just went away. I want you to know something. Jesus wasn't trying to teach work salvation. He was trying to teach there ain't no real peace outside of relationship with me. And you can't keep the law and you can't keep the commandments, but you need eternal life through me. And I want to say this. I quoted it once. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're listening to me and you're lost, you're chasing after women and wine and wealth, and none of it satisfied you. Can I tell you, Christ will satisfy you. Christ will give you joy. Christ will help you. And I want you to know something. If you're listening to me and you're saved, and you say, Preacher Smith, I know the Lord, but why am I so miserable? Why am I so dissatisfied? Because here's what you've done. You're living under the sun. And instead of experiencing the joy of a new creature, you're living below your privileges. And you bought into the world philosophy. Everything can make you happy. And you're not happy. Some of you's in debt. Some of you's whole life's upside down. You say, why? The day you walked away from Christ, the day you give into your carnal desires, the day you went toward the flesh is the day that joy left and satisfaction left. And I say to you, the only way back is for you to confess your sins and trust Christ and ask Him to come back in your life. Now, you're saved, but you've lost your joy and you lost your happiness. Right now, where you're at, why don't you bow down and say, God, I've tried everything to satisfy me. But I won't try you now. And like the girl sang a moment ago, I choose Christ. Will you? Will you choose Him? Will you? Will you? Will you? You choose Him before it's too late. Thank you for listening tonight. Let me pray. We've got a lot of sick people and a lot of folks fighting cancer and all kinds of problems. I want to pray for the lost. I want to pray for my church. And I want you to just realize that Christ is the answer. Father, right now I pray for our people. I think of those that are suffering so much in their body. God, give them peace. But Lord, I think of that person that's backslidden the wound. God, give them insight that they need to get back. And Lord, I think of that person that's not saved at all, that's trying everything to find satisfaction, and they can't find it. Help them to be saved tonight and trust Christ tonight. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen.